Praise God. Praise God, my brothers, my sisters. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And it's always a blessing that we gather. We in different places in the world. I know there are a number of us that are listening. And I always appreciate your feedback. And it helps even in the teaching, you know, because at least I know whether we've understood or there are questions that we have. So always feel free to just reach back. And today I just wanted to pick a thought based on something that came up from yesterday and where this part when we were looking at Hebrews chapter 10, where we asked, someone asked this question, you know, fear, about fear on the day of judgment, you know, and where it says Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26, that dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fear indignation which will devour the adversaries. And let me just read that in NLT. It says, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume His enemies. And then verse 28 says, for anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were an uncommon and unholy, and have insulted and disdain the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, I want to bring just a different thought in that I want to focus on sin, and the sin here not being where we know sin as lawless acts, okay? Now, when we think of sinning, we often, and really this is a conversation for the mature, and there's a reason why, because yes, we understand that sin is lawlessness. I mean, sin is doing the wrong thing. Sin is an omission or a commission that we do against the law of God or against the moral law of God, against the instructions of God. So there are things that we do and there are things that we fail to do. Now, when we have matured beyond that place where it's no longer distinguishing between good and evil. And remember, when you think of Hebrews, it says, it speaks of that solid food is for the mature who by reason of use have learned to exercise their consciences to discern good from evil. So it's no longer a discussion about is this a good work or is this sin or is it bad or is this wrong to do this. So we already can exercise our senses where we can discern this is good, this is evil, and we choose to do good. You know, when Jesus God says, choose today between life and death, and then he tells you choose life, you know, he already gives us the choice. So now when we speak to the mature, when we come to those that are no longer in that place where it is, oh, am I, you know, committing immorality or am I living in sin, and it's more about now how do we hold on to the faith and to the love of God that God has poured out for us, that we should not fear, we should not have fear on the day of judgment, but rather we need to have boldness in the day of judgment. And really, that's why I say this is really not a conversation for those who are still struggling with, or maybe smoking or struggling with carnal sins, but this is mostly to the place where we ask ourselves, Are we falling from grace? Where falling from grace does not mean sinning, but it means stopping to believe in Christ and stopping to believe in the sacrifice of Christ, that it is enough to cover our sins once and for all. It is enough to cleanse our sins once and for all. And that sacrifice that Christ gave is the one that gives us boldness in the day of judgment. And really, our main aspect will be, how can we have boldness and to have the assurance that the day of judgment, when we come to Christ, it is God that presents us to himself. It is Christ that presents us to himself, to God, that this is my bride. And this is very important, because if we miss that, then it still becomes our own human effort and not really what Christ has done. Then we fall away from grace. Sorry. So now, we've said that if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, and ask yourself, and there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins, or any sacrifice for sins, a sacrifice for sins. Now, I want to use here the place for the definition for sinning here, not as the lawless acts, but as the place where we stop believing in Christ. And I will want to link it up with John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, Jesus is asked by the crowd and the Pharisees. And in John chapter 6, we can see from verse 26, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly," John chapter 6, 26, "I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now he's telling the crowd, "I know you are following me because of food. It's not because you saw the signs or miracles, but because you ate bread and were filled." You can imagine how the stomach can just lead us into trouble. Verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Now, verse 28 says, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may do the works of God?'" So now they asked the question, what is the works of God? Or what must we do to do the works of God? And the key verse here is verse 29, says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So he's telling them that, look here, if you want to do the works of God, believe in the one he sent. Who did God send? He sent Jesus. He sent himself. He sent the incarnate God, the image of God, to come as a man for you and me, and to live the life and to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins once and for all. And once we believe that indeed this is the one that God sent, who is our mediator, who has paid the one sacrifice for us once and for all, and as long as we believe in him, and we keep on in our faith that, you know what, despite our shortcomings, yes, as I said, sin is lawless acts. And if we are to examine ourselves one or here or twice, we might find that we have fallen short, you understand, of the glory of God because of inherent human weaknesses. But you see, when we are perfected in love, when we are mature, when we have come to the place where we are no longer debating about lawless acts, but it's in the place where we are coming to that place of judgment. If that place of judgment, if we look at ourselves and say, "Oh God, I have been a Christian for 35 years. I have been faithfully doing this. I have been doing this. I have been doing this." He will say, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity." Why? Because you thought it is these things that you are doing in my name that is making you saved. But rather, if you just come and say, God, I come through Christ. Despite everything that I ever did, good or bad, despite any ability that I had, despite all the everything that you enabled me to do, I can only come by the blood of Jesus. And this is what we call when we bring works to God as an evidence of for us to be saved or for us to be safe on the day of judgment. Those are called dead works. And God calls us to repentance from dead works. Now, as I was saying, now I'm pushing it away from just the lawless acts to the place where we stop believing in the one God sent. The works of God is to believe in the one he sent. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, the key word there is believe, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So there is a place of believing, and this is very important. And I want us to link it up eventually now with 1 John, where we shall look at where God says his perfect love. Love is made perfect. And if we look at 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That means we are living through Christ. We are not living of ourselves, but we are living through him. The life that we live in the body, we live by the faith of the Son of God. In this, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and that he sent, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. Propitiation, that means to be the payment, to be the full payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, the first thought that is coming out here is that, look at here, God's love is this, that we did not even love him first. We were not even faithful first before he loved us. We were not even deserving of his mercy. The Bible says, Romans 8 verse 4, while we are yet sinners, he sent his Son to die for us. While we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. That means in that place where we were still in sin, God sent his Son to die for us. Now, if we can just focus on that love, that we didn't choose him, he chose us. Before, in our mother's womb, he loved us. Before we were formed, he knew us, he called us, he set us apart. For those whom God foreknew, he predestined. And those he predestined, he conformed. And those he conformed, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. You know, and he had prepared us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Now, here we are speaking now of the perfection of love. Why? Because the person that is perfected in love is the person who has fully understood the love of God, that God loves us even beyond before we could do any good thing. And this person has also believed that it is only Christ who will present us to God on the day of judgment. And we are only depending on that. That means that our place of believing, our place of doing the works of God, our place of actually not sinning is when we still stay on that belief that it is only through Christ that we are saved. It is only the one works of righteousness. It's only the one sacrifice that is enough. Now, verse 13, but we know this, that we abide in him. Do you know that you abide in him and he in us? God is in you. So you are in God and God is in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That means that when you believe in Jesus Christ, whenever you confess Jesus as the Son of God, remember we are talking about this is the place, this is the thing, this is the core thing that God will judge human beings. Did you believe in Jesus Christ as my Son? Did you believe that he paid the price for you? Because if it is wrong things, all of us fail on that. If it is, you know, our own works, all of us fail on that. We all fail. We all fall short. In fact, it's not we all have fallen short in the past. We all fall short. That means it is a continuous process. You know, it is continuous process, but we are justified freely. You know, hallelujah. That means the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It says for Romans 3:23 to 24, for all have sinned and have fallen short of, fall short of the glory of God. That means we continually fall in terms of, if we're to be judged on the standard of God, I assure you, we still cannot stand even on our own. Even if we say we have been Christian all many years, we still fall short. But the Bible says, but we are justified freely through the grace of Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ. So now, the place of our believing, the place of where we are not going to fall into the fearful hands of the living God, where we are not going to have fear on the day of judgment, but we are going to have boldness on the day of judgment, is still the place where I keep insisting that we know we are coming through Christ. We are coming through the one sacrifice. And this is where now the love of God is made manifest. And he says, verse 16, 1 John chapter 4, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us, and God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, we're now looking at, now this is really the love of God. This is really the mercy of God. This is really the grace of God. That God is love, that he loved us before we loved him. He chose us before we chose him. He had mercy on us when we were not deserving mercy. And he will even have mercy on us on the day of judgment when we don't deserve it. But because we have believed that we will not go to that judgment seat on our own effort, but through the one sacrifice that Jesus paid. And he says, I will forgive their sins and will remember their sins no more. Now, verse 17, which is going to be our core, and up to 19, it says, 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world, in this present world. King James puts it that way. So, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as who is, as Christ is. So as Christ is today, seated at the right hand of the Father, as Christ is glorified, as Christ is exalted, as Christ has all power in heaven and on earth, just as he is, so are we in this present world. So the image of Christ that Christ is now, the place he is the same where we are, is the same image that we have. Just as he is, so are we in this present world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment or involves judgment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So when we find that we are still fearful, when we find that we are still fearing, the scripture is telling us that we are yet to be perfected in God's love, in this understanding of God's love. Why? But he who fears has not yet been made perfect, has not yet matured in the love of God. And verse 19 completes it. It says, we love him because he first loved us. So God is love. He abides in us and we in him through his spirit. He has given us his spirit. He's telling us, and remember, this conversation is not about doing the right thing and the wrong thing. And remember, we talked about purified consciences. To the pure, all things are pure. So it's not that now you're going to I'm going to sin and do all the lawless acts. Why? Because I have confidence on the day of judgment. I will still be declared righteous. No, there you are not still at this point of understanding. But this is the person who has exercised himself. They are able to discern good from evil and they choose good. But it's when they come to steal the throne of God, they can find that if we're to be judged on our human effort, we fall short. But we come to the place where we are justified freely and where we have confidence that there is a love of God that loved me even before I knew him, even before I deserved it, even before I could do any right thing. There's a love of God that chose me as Jacob before and not chose Esau. That love of God that is greater than my lawless acts, that is greater than my sin. And as I believe in that love of God, then there's no way that I can have fear. And that's why the Bible says, if you link it up back to where we started, where it says that it is just to think how much worse the punishment for those who have trampled the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy. That means these people, they have treated, they have forgotten, or they have consider that this blood that Jesus shed, that this sacrifice that Jesus shed, the way the scoffers will talk, how can someone who died 2,000 years ago, tell me that that's what he died for me? That is someone who is insulting the spirit of grace, is insulting, treating the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. Yet this is this blood that is in the most holy of holies, and that blood that Jesus shed that is enough for us. So as I said, this is a conversation for the mature, but it is also a conversation that is to help us understand and to bring us to the perfect love. And the perfect love is that God loved us before we loved him. We may fall short, but we are justified freely. We come on the day of judgment with boldness, not because of our effort, not because of how good we have been, but because we believe in the works of God, because we're believing in the one he sent, and we're believing in Christ that he paid the one sacrifice for us once and for all. Then we cannot have fear. We cannot have fear on the day of judgment, because we are perfected in this love of God. We are perfected, and because we know just as he is, so are we. And we have boldness in the day of judgment. I will stop here, and I pray that God's word has taken root in our hearts to be perfected in his love. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We honor your holy name. We thank you for the grace to share your word. We do not take it for granted. And I thank you for my brothers, my sisters who need to just settle on this love of Christ that is dependent on him, that is dependent on what he has done for us. This love of Christ that when the devil brings torment and fear, and when he brings things where we have fallen short, and we can still come back to this grace, to this throne of grace. We can still come back to the place where we say, Abba, Father, have mercy on us. You know, do not cast us away from your presence. And indeed, you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. Your love is made perfect and has perfected us for your glory. Cleanse us where we have failed you. Purify us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us by the word. Cleanse us by the truth, this knowledge of the truth. And by this boldness, We are walking forth out there as victors, not victims. We are going there not guilty, but forgiven. We are going there not unholy, but righteous. We are going there not sinners, but saints. Father, we thank you for healing of your children, our members. Thank you for the church. Thank you for everyone that is available to serve and to come. Thank you for laborers. Thank you for souls. Indeed, we break all the hindrances of darkness. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.